Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome everybody here to Impact Media Presents End Zone. I'm here joined by Mr. Haywood Hill. How are you doing this week?
I'm great, sir. I'm just
doing pretty good. And we are here once again at one of our new favorite water and holes, I guess. They got great food and drinks. Let's get the tequila in Dallas. Come by and check out all their specials. They got amazing food. But a few things we're going to hit today, and we do appreciate you guys who are joining us live today. We're looking at how other teams use it as far as judging which players take and which ones not doing, you know, because it's not necessarily all about money. But first, the current hot topic across the league is who should be or who is the number one pick out of right now. There are the six candidates, at least as far as the research that I've done, and I've talked about this back and forth. But that would be Teddy Bridgewater out of Louisville, Jadeveon Clowney, South Carolina, Blake Bortles out of UCF, Auburn's Craig Robinson, Khalil Mack out of Buffalo, and, of course, John Football Manziel out of Texas A&M. Everybody's pretty much had their pro day up to this point. I believe Mr. Clowney had it earlier today. And just like Manziel at his press conference, he was very confident in himself that he felt that he should be the number one pick. And not just a Houston Texan, he feels that he is that player. Is there one in particular that sticks out to you at this point?
Most definitely. Right now, there are actually two players that stick out. One of the players is actually not on this list, and that's Khalil Mack out of Buffalo. I think he's put his numbers up. I think he's going to do a good job. I think he might be a surprise pick early. Right now, out of the guys that we have, I think that the quarterback from UCF has spoke volumes with the fact that he did go to the combine. Work out. All 32 teams had an opportunity to see him, had an opportunity to interview, and I think that raised his stock. With Mr. Manziel, we're talking about size, we're talking about some other things right there. With Mr. Clowning, we're talking about some issues with his strength, more of a gamer type than he is just a guy that gives you these explosive numbers. So I think those are some things that we're looking at, but right now I do feel personally that a quarterback will be the first pick.
Yeah, I think so too. And, I look through the draft order, at least of top six teams. I'm not saying the top six players could, you know, go to these teams. They could easily drop. We could see Manziel at the 32nd pick, for all that matters. I really doubt it. But Houston, of course, had the first overall pick. Seeing as how they had the fewest wins of anybody in the league, I guess is the nicest way to put it. We know they're trying out. They had a few holes in the ship they were trying to fix. And I think they're doing a good job attacking that. Quarterback is their issue. Thanks to the RG3 trade, you got St. Louis at number two now. They also have, I believe, the 13 pick based off their own record. So, you know, we could see them move around just as well as we could anybody. And any of these six teams have talked about moving down. The number six team actually talked about moving up. But three is Jacksonville, who could also use the quarterback there. They could all, any of these six players we've talked about, easily fix a lot of problems these other teams have. Cleveland at four, obviously another quarterback team, doesn't mean anything. Oakland at five, Oakland's doing a good job of kind of righting the ship. They spent a lot of money in free agency to fix a lot of holes. And, of course, the local team, the Atlanta Falcons, are sitting at number six. I'm still kind of curious a few times how they skipped over Tampa Bay. I thought Tampa had the worst, but I think tiebreakers played in there. And Atlanta being the team that has said they're not afraid to move up. But they have to avoid that whole Julio fiasco again, because Julio did pan out, but they lost six or eight potential, you know, bodies on the roster at that point.
Well, let's start with the draft order. Let's start with Houston first. Houston is in a very unique situation right now. I don't think there's any one player that stands out as that number one pick guy. So they have some leverage. The question is now is who can they leverage with? If probably Mr. Smith, I'm looking at possibly trading out of that spot, because now you're trying to bank everything on that one player versus being able to get a lot of quality players and filling a lot of holes. One of the issues that they have naturally is quarterback. They don't have a quarterback right now that they feel comfortable with or have picked up one in free agent that they feel comfortable with. So quarterback is one of the more issues. However, when you look at the defensive side of the ball, they do need help with Mr. J. That's a need of help.
Jadeveon Clowney, just – that's a pretty scary combo. Or I kind of agree with you that Khalil Mack could be the overall best player of that of those six, at least at this point here. You know, we'll update it as it gets closer. But if you put Khalil Mack, who is a natural outside linebacker, next to Brian Cushing in the middle, all of a sudden their linebacking core is scary.
Right. So it just depends on what they do with that. If they decide to go quarterback, I like the kid from UCL, to be honest with you. I think, again, he took on some things. The things that would be cool is just the level of talent that he played against consistently.
Right.
But as far as being able to make the throws, I think he proved that. I think he proved a level of maturation that you don't normally see that early that fast. So can he plug in Houston? I think that if they have to quarterback, he's a kid that you most definitely have to take in consideration, or a candidate for that. Now, I guess I'm using a kid from just a coaching standpoint. But, again, also you have to look at Ridley. Was he nervous when he had – when it comes to a pro-style fit, probably the most prepared to go in right now. But then again, how does the nerves factor into his ability to want to jump right in and play right now as that starting and/or franchise quarterback?
Right, and he, you know, the main knock against Teddy Bridgewater was that he plays small and he has smaller hands, which does actually matter. If you go to a cold city or to a rainy city, you know, a Seattle or even a Pittsburgh, and you try to play with smaller hands, it's hard to grip the football. Usually that has a lot to do with your success. That's typically why, as much as you hate to break it down to just numbers of height and width of your hand size, a lot of times that matters in the quarterback position.
I can tell you right now specifically, I have been around situations where a senior bowl where they bring these guys in and they're getting all of these measurements. All this stuff does matter. And believe it or not, sometimes it's just that one factor that determines one guy or the other.
Yep.
Moving on to St. Louis. In their situation, St. Louis will probably use a clowning more. I think they need some help with the pass rush. They have Mr. Long down there. And again, it's kind of one of those unique situations where he can fall between one and two in that area. I think they're fine at quarterback, but I think they do need some help on the pass rushing side. So that brings up the stock of Mr. Clowney with just that alone.
Right, because as far as the Rams are concerned, they could use, you know, I think they're going to let Bradford be their guy going forward, at least this year, because I believe he has 1 year left on his contract. They may bring in a backup in order to try to make – think that something would happen. In case you do want to go, but even starting last year, looking at their defense, I'm a big fan of the way they play. They're big physical guys. There's a couple UGA guys from there. They kind of rival Houston to me as far as being such a young dynamic defense. But if they keep the there.
Well, again, as we move down the board and we're looking at Jacksonville, I think that's where you'll find Mr. Wilson. I think that they need some help offensively. They have a lot of things that they need to do in that particular situation. He's the biggest bang for the buck.
Well, and, you know, did add Luke Jockel last year. Even
right.
though he got hurt and didn't play the entire year, you have him on one side to fill that hole. And on the other side of the offensive line, Greg Robinson. Suddenly, almost anybody can play quarterback because it's going to be very hard to him.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I think that when you're looking at Mr. Robinson out of Auburn, I think that he's one of those guys that basically fit a Jacksonville-type system, and I think that they're keying in on him.
So you hear that, Gus Bradley? We think you should go this direction.
Next
yeah,
person
Cleveland.
On the board, Cleveland. Now, that's where I see Mr. Manziel, believe it or not. I think that if Houston makes the move on him to keep him there, I don't see where that fits other than four ticket sales. I think to see his level of maturity, he needs to get out of a comfort zone. Again, you know, Cleveland has room for him to grow. It's not a team that is expected to win right now with a lot of the things that they're trying to do, but it'll give him an opportunity to get into the league, find his place, and get a chance to mature in the process of doing so.
You know, after we get through the fifth and sixth positions here, talk Oakland and Atlanta, I actually have a pretty good guess. I think I know where Manziel could be heading. But we'll get to that in a minute. It's going to involve a little bit of a shakeup in this mix. But, you know, going to Oakland, as we said, they've done a good job. Had, I believe, $60 million in cap space. To me, they've spent it pretty well. They haven't really overpaid anybody. They've gotten a lot of the positions they needed to replace. And, in fact, they're starting defense as of right now, based off who they've signed. I believe 7 of the 12 came from different teams.
Mm-hmm. Moving to Oakland. Oakland, as a matter of fact, the GM there, someone that I know, Reggie McKenzie, he's doing a great job in restructuring where Oakland needs to be. But there is something in the mix that I think he might go with, and I think he might go with the receiver out of Clemson. So you need some help in the receiving.
Sammy Watkins, you know, arguably he could be in this six that we mentioned. I just picked the main six people were talking about. But I like Sammy Watkins, too. I mean, we're talking – I hate to compare him to people since we haven't seen him play on the pro level, but, you know, Sammy Watkins has the potential to be the next Julio Jones, to possibly be the next Calvin Johnson even, because he has the size, the hands, the playmaker ability. I mean, we're talking T.O., Jerry Rice, just throw it up and the kid will go get it.
Exactly, and I think that he'll fit at Oakland now. There's room for him to grow there. It's an opportunity for him to start right now. And so I think Oakland might do something a little different. And I can see there, I said, at least an opportunity there for the receiver from Clemson to end up in Oakland.
Oh, absolutely. And moving on to the local favorite, which is always fun to talk about, especially in this particular area. But the Atlanta Falcons, who do find themselves at number six, which to me is one of the best draft positions. Now, you will miss out on some top guys, but at the same time, that pressure's off. When you pick in the top five, that pressure is you have to find the A-plus stud immediately. And if you don't, it's almost considered a bust. Pick him around a little bit and go with another guy that's like, he will be an A-plus, but he's a B-plus right now.
Well, I think here's where Atlanta sits very, very well there. They don't have the pressure of the first five picks. It's on what I would consider the
first pick. Yeah.
So with that being said, I think they look at Khalil. I've had to see him on film. Atlanta is doing things plug in either direction, being that he's an inside linebacker. He's also heavy enough to go and put his hand down off the edge. About that particular player.
Right. And apparently at some point we got disconnected. We apologize for that. Hope you guys are still with us. Some technical difficulties we're working through. But it does happen. But just to recap, you know, some of the things we went over, based off the top six picks we were looking at and the top six players being Bridgewater, Clowney, Bortles, Robinson, Mack, and Manziel, I feel that Khalil Mack's probably going to be your overall first pick. I think even if it's traded, but I do think Houston would go that route because it's going to make their defense, and they're in a rough division, so you know, in order for them to compete, I think that was the best move for them to do. And you think that they're going to trade the pick, which is very possible, especially on draft day, and the pressure's up doing that.
I do. I think it's just a lot easier for them. Most definitely, let the pick go and try to pick up something else in second and even fourth rounds. Like I said, there's no particular guy that just stands out
right
above the all, and there are so many needs in all of these particular six teams, the first six picks, so many areas that they need to cover. They're trying to find more players in the second and third round to bounce back into those needs down the stretch, help them a lot more.
Right, a lot of people are looking for more depth, and this is a very deep draft coming up anyway. One of the deepest there's been in a long time at almost every position. You'll be able to find somebody, and if not, there's always the you can sign people after that. And we also talked about character and how that's used in the NFL, because the different teams all have different ways of trying to evaluate players. And with DeSean Jackson, you know, to the Eagles, whatever reason they had, whether it be based off a character characteristic of his, or whether it be a money issue, whatever it was, for some reason they felt that they could move forward without him. And I think it was up to nine teams, including Washington, who signed him, that just jumped all over the opportunity.
Well, one of the things Philadelphia Eagles have put out there as their disclaimer, if you will, is that buyer's beware. So obviously, if there was value there in Philly for Mr. Jackson, he's still there. But most importantly, what he was able to find out, along with his reputation, was that he still is valuable to the National Football League, and to have nine teams, almost 10 teams, willing to immediately put a contract on the table to sign him. And these are high quality. All
right.
These teams are high quality, but we're talking about teams like San Francisco that was in the Super Bowl. We're talking about the Patriots, who have consistently been a playoff contending team.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously he's a missing link to several teams in the NFL
right.
that feel that he is that one piece that makes the puzzle complete for them.
Exactly, especially if you look at the Patriots, who seem to just need that one standout wide receiver to balance the rest of the attack. But the phone lines are open if you guys do want to call in, for all you guys who are listening live. Our call-in number is 347-826-7448, and that's 347-826-7448 if you guys want to call in and weigh on either of the issues we have. You know, since we do have a little bit of extra time here, you know, let's talk about Sammy Watkins. And, you know, because a lot of people didn't really get to see a whole lot of him, because as explosive as that offense was, Taj Boyd was the focus point. A lot of times it kind of gets covered up around him. I was lucky enough to be able to see him in the opening game against UGA, and all I saw was a possible standout wide receiver. This guy can play. He's very football smart. He's very quick. And it's not necessarily about being the fastest on the field. It's about getting open.
I agree. I think he has that ability to find the space in the defense to get open. He has good size. But also there's somebody else that we failed to mention. That's the receiver at Texas A&M.
Ah.
I think that Manziel, numbers were great. However, he made a lot of those.
Yeah.
And so when you're talking about receivers, we're talking about guys that can sneak in now in the top 10 that have not been mentioned. A lot of focus has been around Mr. Manziel, around the quarterback, around Houston as number one pick. But what about some of these other guys that were right there that made these other guys even maybe better football players?
Oh,
so
yeah.
We don't know just as of yet. That's why it's so exciting to see what comes of it. But I do think that Mr. Watkins is a guy that, again, has not had a lot of mention.
Right.
But a lot of teams will tend to just kind of lay low. No wants to know what that pick is going to be.
Well, and one thing I forgot to mention, I just remembered, the head coach for Minnesota, in talking about some of the pro days that he's went to recently, he tried to downplay Johnny Manziel and say that he didn't really see anything that amazing. You know, see, if anybody, I hate to keep using him as an example, but Bill Belichick is a great example of knowing how to play the game. It's all about the game, how you play it. And it's not necessarily the game on the field that matters as much as off the field as far as setting things up. I mean, do you feel like he's downplaying him so that he can sneak in and have him, or I think he's legitimately looking at he's not our guy?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. It's obvious that he's going to go in the first round.
Oh, yeah.
Where he goes in the first round is the question, and where the needs are. Mr. Manziel would rather stay in Texas.
Of course.
He said that.
Yeah.
However, I don't see that.
No.
And that's just because of the fact that Dallas doesn't have any room for him, and Houston needs so much more than just a quarterback. I think that's already been proven. So,
yeah.
Again, I think Minnesota might be down planning to get him. The question is, will he go to Minnesota?
It's true, because it is quite cold there. And the last time I checked, he's a little bit on the small side as well. He would have to pack on the frame of what he has. And at that point, I mean, they play in a rough division. I mean, now that Jared Allen is no longer a Minnesota Viking, he's going to be a Chicago Bear. So he's going to be coming after whoever the Vikings put in that place. And it's a pretty brutal place to play already. It's quite cold up there.
I agree.
Well, I think that's about going to wrap us up for tonight. Once again, I do appreciate you coming by.
Thanks again for having me.
And I always like what you always seem to know about the policies a lot better than I do. And it's always good to get that other take, especially with you being with the resume that you have. And you've been pretty much at every level, you know, everything from scouting all the way up to coaching, so you can give us that other take.
Well, I do appreciate it. And again, I think that's one of the things that the listeners get an opportunity to hear is bottom-up stuff. So.
Well, for Mr. Hill, I am Jeremy from Endzone. We'll see you guys next week.